following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of a mature age, is that how it goes?
Right, because we have potty mouth. Well, I have potty mouth anyway. No, I know you guys do too.
We are a billion times worse than you are, sir. Like, you and Dave, it's like you guys are lucky if you drop one F-bomb in every hour, and we're just like, fuck this, fuck that, faggot, N-words, you know. That's the way we roll, I guess, on this side of the Hudson River. Folks, yeah, this is episode 2 of the Shining Throwbacks. What, 8 months later?
8 months in the making.
Oh, glorious 8 months. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. As you know, of course, this is Shining Wizards Tony, and on the other end, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea.
Good evening.
One of the beautiful hosts of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, as you know.
Wow, you called me beautiful. That's nice.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, I don't know.
You're a handsome fella. I just want Matt to put up on Facebook that we were talking to each other like gay lords, but... whatever. Quite a busy weekend in the world of professional wrestling, I must say.
It was busy. I wound up catching the Ring of Honor show Saturday night out here in Manhattan. And I got to tell you, I give Ring of Honor shit all the time because of the whole, 4,000 spots and guys jumping out every 3 seconds of moves, they should be dead. But I got to be honest with you, Tony. It was a fantastic card, and I was so enthused. I had gotten there. I went with a friend of mine, and all they had left was like the balcony, which was empty, and third row. I didn't want to sit in the balcony with the freaking with the slobs, because they were a bunch of slobs. I know, no offense to anybody who listens to us, but they were just weird looking people up there. So I said, you know what? I'll spend the extra $40 to get the third row. And it was really good, you know. And for some reason, I think ROH always puts a good show on when they come to New York anyway. They normally have two big cards during the year. They have the Manhattan Mayhem, and then they have the, I think it's Final Battle.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So either way, I was enthused, and because it was a night out, and I was I don't do that very often by myself anyway, because you know how it is with married life. And
I hear you, man. I hear you.
So it was really, really cool, and I'm pissed off that the kid didn't get to go with me because he wasn't with us this past weekend. And if you don't mind, I just want to talk about a couple of the matches before we get into all this stuff, because I got to tell you, it was really, really good.
No, if you had a good experience with Ring of Honor, by all means. I mean, a lot of times it's the same complaint on this show where, the wrestling is quality, but the believability comes into question every match, where it's, pile driver kick out, power bomb kick out, Enziguri kick out.
I think if Vince watched half the stuff that's being relayed to him, I think he'd have a better understanding of what's around him in terms of talent. Like, the Young Bucks are great. We saw the Young Bucks a couple of months ago in Chikara, big, right? But they fought. The match of the night was them against the Forever Hooligans.
Okay.
Romero and Kozlov, who I've never seen live before. And that was, they stole the show. Stole the show, was fantastic. It was like, in the, one of the matches was a strong style, stiff match with Machine Gun Carl Anderson against Michael Elgin. Michael Elgin had a 56-second suplex, bro. 56 seconds, we counted. He held the dude, and he's the next world champion, by the way. That was a quarterfinal match in a tournament that's going on for the world title. Another world title quarterfinal tournament match was Roderick Strong versus Kevin Steen.
Steen.
who's now being billed as Mr. Wrestling. So when they start calling him that, and if you've seen Kevin Steen, he's nowhere near looking as Mr. Wrestling. He yells out, "I'm Mr. Wrestling," and he grabs the dude in a headlock, like a 30-second headlock, and the crowd goes bananas. So Bennett was without his whore. He fought another quarterfinal match. He fought Tommaso Ciampa. Matt Taven fought our boy No Fear Mike Mondo. And I got to say, the girls that were with Taven and Truth Martini were fucking pretty delicious.
Nice.
The one chick, we watched her slip the entire night. She just bent over and we saw fucking meat cutlets all over. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous, T. It was ridiculous.
Meat cutlets. I love it.
So Mikey takes the loss. On a side note, the next day, my kid gets a bag of wrestlers, wrestling figure that he inherited from a friend of his dad's. And he pulls out the Mike Mondo Spirit Squad figure. Not 24 hours later. So, of course, I tweeted it to Mondo, and he loved it. So, that was fantastic. CNC Wrestle Factory, not to be confused with the Music Factory. Caprice Coleman, who did a standing Shining Wizard. Don't ask me. He ran, stopped, and I think he kicked ACH of Adrenaline Rush in the head. That was pretty good. Prince Nana was calling the matches with Kevin Kelly. QT Marshall and RD Evans weren't booked on the card, and they were running their mouth. And two guys came out with clown masks and like shirt and ties. Wound up being the new tag team of Eddie Kingston and Homicide. So they jumped them, took out them, and then the main event was the Wolves versus the Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly for the belts. And they won the belts, O'Reilly and what's his nuts, Bobby Fish. And then they got jumped by this new team called the Outlaws now, which is Eddie Kingston and Homicide. So it was a good card, you know.
Did Eddie Kingston appear with his Chikara Grand Championship? I'm curious.
He did not. And I mentioned that to my buddy Uncle Eddie, who was with me from Ham Radio. I said, "Where's his Grand Champion belt?" He goes, "Oh, that's all the work. It's all the work." I said, "I don't know, dude. Because I know it's been, like, on the wrap. Nobody's talking about it. Like, even, like, Wiggy's in hiding. Where the hell's she been?"
I read something that there was something going on with the ants over the weekend. I didn't catch the whole story, but apparently there was some other rumblings about one of the ants being replaced by somebody else or some shit or other. But, yeah, I don't know, man. If this is a big, elaborate work, I really hope that it's going somewhere big. And bravo if it is, and kind of sucks if it isn't.
Well, I tell you, I'm a fan of Eddie Kingston. I know you are too.
Yeah,
we like him. I think this team of him and Homicide is really good. He can't cut a promo for dick though.
Eddie?
Yeah, he's got like this psychopath gimmick now, like this psychopath angle that he's like he's crazy, he's paranoid, schizophrenic. I'm like I'm Homicide gets away with it because he's from Brooklyn, and half the people we know from Brooklyn are like that anyway. But so he plays the part well. But Eddie Kingston cannot cut a promo for his life, man. But that's a good tag team though, and they were moving away from that scum faction, and now they're doing this. So I don't know, because they're like, "Oh, we're anti-establishment, where we don't like Ring of Honor, we're not honorable people," or right, whatever. Kill yourselves. But no, it was good though. It was enjoyable. And I think I'm going to go back for the December card, the week before Christmas. So,
well, sounds like a plan. I'm glad you had a good time. You know, Ring of Honor takes quite a bit of shit lately. Not so much as TNA does, but it's good to hear that you guys had a good time.
Yeah, TNA shit the bed again. Listen, man, you want to give Bully Ray back the belt? I'm all about it, because I think right now he's the only guy in that company as a heel next to Bobby Roode that can actually get over and be legitimate about it. I mean, why? Because the guy's 45 years old. He lost 30 pounds. Oh, we'll give him the belt.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I really do enjoy Bully Ray. I have no problem with him being the top heel of a company. I really don't. But I don't know. It's kind of like Lex Luger all over again, where they needed just one person to kind of shake things up to show that, you know, Aces and Eights isn't as unbeatable as everybody thinks they are. But then again, it's TNA. People fucking lose left and right for no rhyme or reason, you know?
It's sad. And, you know, you think with the budget cuts, they fire Brooke Hogan.
Thank God.
With nut chin. I call her nut chin. Her fucking chin looks like a pair of testicles.
She got Peter Griffin chin.
Peter Griffin chin. Yeah, that's what we should call her. PG. That's it. That's what we call her, PG. Good job. But you know what? They're on the verge of doing something really good if they just follow through with shit.
Just fucking pull the trigger and do it.
God, it's just fucking bringing in these MMA guys. Come on, man.
Yeah, Tito Ortiz, that was a big bucket of shit.
Oh, dude, it was like, it's like 96 all over again, except Ken Shamrock could actually wrestle.
It's like, Look, WWE needs to cater to its shareholders because they're a corporation. TNA is not in that boat. They don't need to cater to Spike. They don't need to cater to Bellator. They don't need to cater to anybody but themselves. And just trying to fucking bring these guys in just to promote an MMA match that's not even happening in TNA, it's fucking ridiculous.
No, it's happening at Spike Network, happens to be the new home of Bellator because they lost UFC. And this fight is until November. So, like, how could you hype something this bit, you know, this further away from whatever's going on in your real life? I just don't understand the logic in all of that.
And yet, somewhere in a house in America, Adam Pearce is sitting home without a contract from a big organization. It's a crime.
If you watch any of his stuff last year with Cabana, I didn't know NWA was that bad off with the new ownership until I heard Cabana shoot on it, and then went back and saw some of the matches they had, like that seven stages of hell, whatever they had.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think the DVD's coming out very soon with that whole program.
Yeah, if you guys want to see good wrestling, and you don't want to watch Ring of Honor or anything or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, this was your next bet. You know what I'm saying? And guys like Adam Pearce are sitting home, like you said, just not doing anything, and these guys should be on television.
Yeah.
It's just sad. And they're paying Sting and Hogan $40,000 a week. You know, you could take that money and invest in some lights.
Yeah.
Some pyrotechnics. I mean, I went to a show in Brooklyn with them. I took the kid, and the place holds 7,500 people. If you had 1,000 people there, you were lucky.
Yeah, and the thing about TNA is they've always gotten, you know, great response from their live shows because the fans, the wrestlers are so accessible. They do autographs, they do photos, everything, and it's just they still can't get people there.
It's sad.
I just don't get it.
But, you know, and I just, again, they're missing something. I don't know if it's a network thing, if it's a combination of the network and the writers. I don't know what that combination is. It's baffling to me, you know. They have so much fucking talent there that they need to, you know, realize that and utilize it to its capacity, man. It's not even fun anymore. Like, even my kid is like, oh, this is terrible, you know. Can we fast forward to the next match? Yeah, of course we can.
TNA is like WCW when the NWO started to fall apart.
Yeah, like around 98.
Yeah, but it never in my mind had that big moment like the NWO where it even plateaued. It's just always been floundering at that, like, that decline, and it never had the incline.
And yet they broke up to like four different factions. You had the red and black, the red and yellow. It was bad news.
It's like now the fucking Main Event Mafia is back. For what reason? I don't know. They haven't done dick.
And their leader's in rehab, so you figure that out. You know, it's like, it's now what are you going to do?
Yeah,
know?
Listen, I mean, you know, we've got friends of the show. You know, it's great that Jake Roberts is doing well. It's great that Justin Credible's in a great place now. But I don't really want to shit on Kurt Angle while he's down. But the fucking dude's got to get help. I mean, you don't keep fucking getting DWIs and just thinking like, it's no big deal. I mean, if you're going to fucking drink, get somebody to fucking drive you around, you know? I mean, you're Kurt fucking Angle. I'm sure some of that billions of dollars that's getting wasted in TNA is going into his pocket. He could do something with it.
Yeah, there's more avenues of help now than there were 30 years ago, even 20 years ago when our hero started to die.
Yeah.
From pills and booze or a combination of both. And now half our heroes are dead and didn't have all these avenues or options and or options to have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like it's just a sad situation. Again, as a wrestling purist, as a wrestling fan, entertainment aside, because I like that too. I want to be sure that at least I don't want, you know, I don't care that Vince doesn't get competition anymore. I mean, it's nice, it's healthy, but like I don't care if he doesn't get it. I just want some. I just want another option. We always had options growing up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now we don't. I mean, we do, but we don't. If you know, if that makes any sense, you know.
No, of course. And the thing that always makes me think back is, you know, Kurt Angle 2007 was like, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm fine. And then he parts ways with WWF. It's like, how much longer is it going to go on? You're not fine. Yeah. Something's got to give there.
Again,
there's really nothing to say, man.
No, I just want him to get better for his kids. I want him to get better for his fans. And more importantly, I want TNA to fucking get a better network. Get away from Spike. You know, Fox One should bank on – Fox One, that brand-new sports network, they should bank on this. They should be calling up them and Sinclair and saying, let me get Ring of Honor. Let me get TN Impact Wrestling. You know, sports entertainment still has some kind of value to it. Vince is living proof. All right? He's not just packing people in the seats because of his merchandise, you know? There's still a little bit of talent there outside of the entertainment. These other networks can bank off that, you know? Even these little small promotions, whatever NWA has going on. NWA has like 17 different factions.
Yeah, you know? But NWA's been in the shitter for a long time, dude. I think Rob Conway is their champion now. And like, I think it's just guys that are floundering around that they really don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's just a name. And it's worse than it's ever been, to be honest with you. I think they even lost like their Hollywood group, which was like their big mainstay. They had TV and everything, and
they did.
Yeah,
they did.
I don't get it.
Mark my words, if this internet pay per view format gets, if it gets the help it needs, if it gets the upgrade that it needs, when the shit doesn't fade out on you, I'm telling you right now, that's going to be the next big thing next to internet radio and broadcasting. It's that all these little organizations, like, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Our Boys at PWS, if they start banking on these bigger companies that start, you know, getting these pay-per-views down to a science and actually getting them legit where people could just stream them off their television, which they're doing now, it's going to be a no – and they might want to jump on that soon, man. You know, it's going to happen. Walk my words, Tony. It's going to happen.
I hear you. Hey, I don't know if you're near a television, and I know people are going to shit on this because I'm talking outside the box here, but if you have ESPN Classics, there's an entire marathon of global wrestling tonight starting at 9 o'clock. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm setting my DVR right now while I'm listening to you because I don't want to fucking miss it. I know I think Eddie talked about it last week with Matt where they had a whole marathon one night, so I wanted to check in on it and make sure, but... Anytime there's old wrestling on TV, bro, you got to fucking catch it. You got to get it.
As long as the Handsome Stranger's on it, I'm good. You know? I didn't get cable. You know the story. I didn't get cable in my neighborhood until like 89 or 90.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when the AWA was in syndication with ESPN, and you were getting like the points, the team challenge series. Oh, God, it was terrible. But yeah. It was wrestling, and it was options.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, dude, I remember all that stuff. It's funny you mentioned The Handsome Stranger. There's a PWS show coming up September 20th, I think, and he's going to be there, which we may have to head out for that.
You going to call him out?
No, I think I'm just going to take a picture of him with my shirt on and put it on Facebook to make everybody get a good chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, remember that time you lied to us? Like, yeah, I remember that.
Sinner. Sinner.
And don't forget, you guys could come out and see us in October at Legends of the Ring 17 in Monroe. What is that, October 3rd?
October 5th, Monroe, New Jersey. They just – I should have brought the page up. I apologize. But, yeah, it's going to be October 5th, Monroe, New Jersey. I'm bringing up the page now.
No, that's cool. I didn't mean to spring that on you to be unprepared. I just wanted to mention it again to the folks that you and I will be out there. Your cohort, Dave Mega Powers, will be there. I'll be bringing the idiots, Kevin, Matt, and Eddie. Jesus, I can't believe I almost said Kevin, Matt, and Tony. What the fuck am I thinking?
Dusty Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, Roddy Piper, APA, Jake, Matt Stryker, David Sammartino, The Rock and Roll Express, Brother Love, our stablemate PJ Polacco, Joseph Parks, Steve Blackman. Oh, I didn't know about Steve Blackman.
No, he was just recently added.
Vampiro and the Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff.
Yeah, I didn't know about Vampiro either.
Those were just added. And they got three more spots that are empty that they're adding on the page.
Awesome. awesome, awesome. And I think Sunny's still going to be there, but I don't think she'll be doing any spooning with anyone. I think somebody must have thought that was a terrible idea, and cooler heads prevailed on that one. Although, I would have plunked down $75. I'm not going to lie.
Somebody had to. Somebody from the group was taking one for the team. If it was you, that would have been fine.
Let's talk married man to married man. Your wife would get pissed off or what?
No, not at all. She would actually encourage it if I can bring her home. So that's the kind of party my wife wants. So
nice.
I'm afraid though. We'll save that for another podcast. But
did you happen to hear the Josh Daniels story again from last week?
That was the best segue, dude. I was before you asked me about this whole Sunny thing with my wife. That was my segue. I was about to tell you. I just heard that on Friday. Can I? I was on the express bus coming home. Can I tell you that was so good?
When he goes, oh my God, you have AIDS, and Matt goes, congratulations.
that and when he goes, I couldn't sleep for days. He said, I had my brother would stare at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like he was so intimate about it. And then you guys followed up with the Mega Powers segment with Matt with shit on his face.
Oh, the Dingle Warrior, and he goes, it's just shit on Matt's face.
Shit on Matt's face.
I had a good time putting that together, man. The more I started listening to the old episodes, the more I realized there was a lot of good shit in there. It was really a lot of fun doing that. And it's only like a small smidge of like what I could have put on there, man. It was a lot.
The anniversary show, man, because that was so much fun, dude. That was so much fun.
4 hours.
That was so much fun.
That needs its own best of.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay, we finished TNA. We finished Ring of Honor. We've got two big shows to talk about. We've got SummerSlam that happened on Sunday and Raw that happened last night. You want to start us off with your SummerSlam story?
Yeah, absolutely. So SummerSlam was going to be Espo, and you guys all know Espo.
Chris Espo, yeah.
Yeah, so Espo was coming over with his wife. He's a big wrestling fan as well. And I said, listen, it's 26th anniversary. You come in. He's like, yeah. And then it escalated. I put a pork roast in the smoker. I made mac and cheese and fried ravioli. Go the whole gindaloon spread. Here comes Will and his kids. And I get a text message from Dave. He's like, Mega Pal's like, hey, can I come over? I'm like, yeah. Then he goes, can I bring Eddie too? Fuck yeah, you can bring Eddie. So I had Eddie and Dave and 17 other people in my house. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like an old school. I don't know how you guys did it in Jersey, but in Brooklyn and in Queens, we had house parties. 3 or 4 times a year. It was Mania, the Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. Somebody bought it, somebody else brought food, and it became a party. And my wife and I were like, you know what, this is our first one, let's do it up. And we did, so we had a great time. SummerSlam, and we talked about this on the last Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling podcast, which you can also hear on Shining Wizards Network. Cheap plug. I don't have my bell with me, though, I'm sorry. but I was telling Dave, because you know Dave doesn't watch a lot of new wrestling unless it's Japanese, so I have to fill him in sometimes because he's anti-establishment. You know how Mega Powers is.
We all know well.
Yes, he's anti-establishment. He comes to my house with a Chikara jacket on. I was like, that's fantastic.
I saw the pictures of that was great. Awesome.
So he so I say to him, like, you know, I said, you know, not for nothing. I said SummerSlam this year, more importantly, I thought. So some of the main matches were properly hyped. They were properly, like, all the guys had proper motivation to kick the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just wasn't thrown together like it normally is the last 10 years or so, you know?
What the fuck was the first match, dude?
First match was Ring of Fire, which, again, it was the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Husky Harris, whatever you want to call him, versus Kane. And again, properly hyped.
Yeah, but I watched the match, dude. I was not impressed.
No, because the Ring of Fire matches are a little. I mean, the Ring of now is more properly built because of, you know, PG era and all other crap. But back in the day, dudes would get singed and the pipes would burst and the turnbuckles would set on fire and shit like that. It didn't have a real look to it. It looked too built.
No, honestly, like when there's slams and people are taking bumps and the flames go up, I get a kick out of that, but I just wasn't impressed with Bray Wyatt and how he was working. I don't know. Something wasn't clicking. I wasn't really getting into the match.
What bothered me even more about this match was now that Kane is not with Daniel Bryan no more, he's just going to get buried. Now, I know he's near the end of his career, and he's one of those guys now. He's in that Jericho RVD mode where he's going to come in and put the younger guys over. He's filming a sequel to that other movie, the horror movie he did a couple of years ago. And he'll be, you know, again, that ruined it for me more that Kane got buried like that. You know, it wasn't even a good match. You know what I'm saying? And Wyatt can go. That kid can go. He's not bad.
Yeah, but I mean, if that match was the first impression, I don't think people are going to be very impressed with him, to be honest with you. I mean, all the extracurriculars getting in Kane's mind, fucking with him, whatnot, that was all great. But to me, the match just didn't deliver. I was sitting there just scratching my head.
No, we agreed. He didn't at all. How it sets up is that one of the guys is Luke Harper. He drops an elbow to keep Kane down, and they both work on Kane. Harper hits with the big clothesline, picks up Wyatt, who's sitting in the corner. Wyatt's on his knees holding his arms out. They pick up Kane, and then he hits him with that face buster. He kisses him before he hits him with the buster, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And then gets the pinfall. So Bray Wyatt wins. Not a good opening match, I agree. And then, of course, they stand over him. They say some shit, and then they drag him away like they're kidnapping him. So whoever wanted the kidnapping angle, congratulations, you fucking got it. Because Kane's not coming back for a couple of months, so.
Yeah. So let's move on.
All right, so the next match was Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow.
And the tradition of burying the guy that wins Money in the Bank continues.
Continues with a new Willy Wonka briefcase, if you noticed that.
Yeah, what? It looks like a piece of chocolate Lego.
Chocolate Lego. That's what my kid said, too. It's pretty funny. Sandow gets a swinging neck breaker, gets close to a two count. Of course, Rhodes counters with a sunset flip into a close two, and then Rhodes connects with his beautiful disaster. Gets a very close two count, and then goes back and forth. It was nice chain wrestling. Hits the crossroads, gets the pinfall, and like you said, gets the guy who gets the briefcase gets buried.
It was a pretty quick match too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was under 10 minutes. I call it the Ziggler effect. You know, Ziggler wins the Money in the Bank, and he got buried for what, 6 months, maybe 7 months.
Yeah.
After the match, of course, Damien Sandow gets his chocolate briefcase and. And he goes off into the sunset. So that's fucking terrible.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Now, before we get into the next match, I just want to tell you about an altercation that went down. I don't know if you read about it with Alberto Del Rio and what's his nuts? Who's the Scottish kid? McIntyre.
Yeah. Now, to be honest with you, before you get into it, when I first heard that there was an altercation, I thought the two of them got into it.
That's what the original report was. I put it on the Facebook page.
Okay.
That was the first report that I got that morning. But it wasn't. They were in a bar. ADR got into it with some dude, and the dudes retaliated, and then McIntyre tried to step in, but Del Rio's face was mangled. He had like raccoon eyes and a busted nose.
And somewhere in the parking lot, X-Pac and Davey Boy Smith were rolling up the windows. How's that for a reference? Was it X-Pac and Davey Boy?
Yes, yes.
Oh, ooh, shit. Match
Stryker looking at Josh. Can I watch?
Holy shit. You want to get laid?
You want to get laid?
Hi, Daddy.
That was awesome.
Holy shit.
All right, so another side note. I didn't know Lillian Garcia was almost 50 years old. That bitch can...
She's 50?
Like 48, dude. She's 10 years older than us, almost.
Good Lord.
I didn't notice that until that day.
Her fucking beaver must look like a fucking gordita.
It's like a fucking mangled fucking chalupa.
Dropped a chalupa, holy shit.
Yeah, literally dropped a chalupa. Must look like a fucking sleeve of wizard. No pun intended, you know?
Like she pulls up her fucking granny panties and her fucking meat curtains fold around like a Tampax. Like a fucking, like wings.
She's not a heavy broad either, so can you imagine if she does have the hanging meat curtains?
Oh, good Lord.
What a disaster. 48 years old.
To quote Danny Lopez, ay, ay, ay.
Ay, boy, don't even get me started. All right, so yeah, ADR defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Captain Charisma himself, Christian.
Did you think Christian had a chance?
I did, and that's why I like Christian.
Yeah, I do too. I really enjoy his work. I don't think the guy has a bad match anymore. He's solid, and it's kind of disappointing he didn't win, but
you know, he's in that mode of putting the young guys over, and yeah. I'm cool with that. You know, I'm cool with that. I don't have a problem with it.
Although ADR is not necessarily a young guy himself either.
No, this is true.
But I mean, WWE-wise, yes, but he's up there too. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, those fucking luchadors, man. They're ageless, those guys.
Yeah. Although not injury-free, as we'll find out in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Del Rio pulls back, gets an arm bar fully locked in. Christian, of course, trying to fight out of it. He doesn't. Del Rio continues to pull it back. And, of course, Christian taps and ADR retains the World Heavyweight Championship. Speaking of the World Heavyweight Championship, there's a DVD coming out in a couple of months. I think the best – it's not the best. It's like the history of the WWE and doing, like, the championship, the WWE championship. So they're gonna do, like, the whole 50- or 60-year history of the belt and the organization in a whole – which is like a 3-DVD set or a 2-Blu-ray set, I believe it is.
Really?
I didn't know Buddy Rogers only had the belt for a month, dude.
Yeah.
And I only noticed that because I have the T-shirt that came with the DVD, and I looked at the back of it because the shirt goes up to 2006. I looked at it. I'm like, I didn't know Buddy Rogers only champion for a month.
Yeah, do yourself a favor if you're listening to this. I think Dave actually posted it up maybe about a month ago before I went away. So I know it's on YouTube if you can just search it out and check it out. It's the NWA title match, 2 out of 3 falls. I think it was Kaminsky Park. Is that the one that's in, or was it Wrigley? It was in Chicago somewhere.
It was definitely Kaminsky Park. They didn't have any matches really in Wrigley.
Okay, so it was Kaminsky. It was 2 out of 3 falls. Pat O'Connor puts the NWA World Heavyweight Championship up. Championship up against Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. Amazing match. Amazing old school match. You really get a flavor for how different wrestling was and how heels worked and how faces worked. Amazing stuff. And as a matter of fact, the reason why Buddy Rogers only had the belt for a month was because they just needed somebody to have somebody legitimate be the world champion to pass the torch on to Bruno. And, you know, the whole thing, the split, the NWA with the Worldwide Wrestling, Capital Wrestling, all that garbage. And, you know, the whole reason they did it was because they were questioning, who was it that that Buddy Rogers fought in a one-fall match? Was it Lou Thesz?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so there was the whole question, like, oh, it was only one fall, because typically title matches back in the day were 2 out of 3 falls.
Every title match is 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
So
except for this one, which floated the title Lou Thesz, so it was questioning about the split. McMahon and Toots Mont saw the way like that he could break away finally and do their own thing. They said, nope, we're still going to recognize Buddy Rogers. They made him the WWF champion by some imaginary title match in Rio, Brazil. And lo and behold, the next month, 47 seconds later, thanks to the Sicilian backbreaker, Bruno Sammartino's your new WWF champion.
Yeah.
How's that for a history lesson in 20 seconds?
See, that's why when you put the vets like us on the network, you might learn a couple of things, you know?
Yeah,
you don't have to get grossed out all the time, you know? By these animals sometimes. I hear what goes on with these shows. I'm joking. I love all these guys. They're great. But no, you know what? I think the production of these DVDs is getting so good that I'm almost scared not to buy one now. Since the CM Punk one came out a couple of years ago. I mean, I buy them all anyway. You know me. I'm a nut with that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have the kid now, and it's like I think it's important for him to know what was good, not the crap that he's going through now, you know? And he's only, you know, he's young, but, like, he knows. He has an idea of what goes on. And these old matches are just a telltale sign of what happened before the entertainment value. You had gimmicks, but not, like, it wasn't over the top. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you, I'm telling you, watch the Pat O'Connor, Buddy Rogers match. You'll get every single nuance, how they used to build a match, how the face character worked, the heel character worked. It's amazing just to see the difference and you know, how things have changed, like, but where they came from and just how entertaining it was. Watch it. Like, Pat O'Connor's doing a spinning, like, all right, you know, like you grab a bottom wrist lock and, you know, you keep spinning the guy's arm, you're twisting the guy's arm. Dude, he's working that on the mat, spinning around Buddy Rogers. It looks like he's ripping Buddy Rogers' arm off. It's insane how crazy these guys worked. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, guys sold it. Guys sold it. They kept it a gimmick. They even kept face. They never broke kayfabe. If you saw him in a restaurant, they would probably smack you in the mouth in a bathroom, you know?
And the crowd was going apeshit every time Pat O'Connor had control. It was nuts.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get back to the card because we'll bore them with our fucking with our wisdom. do we care about women's wrestling or no? You want to skip that or?
It just said it was a match. There was nothing really terrible about it, but there was nothing really good about it. So, yeah, let's just move on.
Yeah, Natalia hits. She had Alabama slam into a sharpshooter, which I thought was impressive.
Okay.
And Brie tapped out. So Natalia won with the Canuck fucking finish.
The Canuck fuck.
Yeah, the Canuck fuck, we'll call it. And have you watched the reality show at all? I have not watched it.
I haven't watched it since that first. Oh, you know what? That's not true. I was watching it for a little bit, I want to say Saturday. And it was fucking. And the only reason I caught it was because I heard Kevin Matthews talking about it on his show, Two and a Half Wrestlers. Which is also on the network, by the way. Netflix. And he's a reality show junkie, and he was talking about how funny it was when who was it? Who's the one that's dating Natty?
Tyson Kidd's married to her.
Okay, well they were talking about that's it. He was taking her somewhere to get married, and he was taking her to the courthouse, and like she lost her fucking mind on him. She's like, "This isn't romantic. This is what I want. You know, your idea of romance is putting me in a headlock and giving me noogies." And I was like, really? This is the show?
They've been together for a long time, and apparently I saw the commercial. She came out in some kind of negligee or something to try to sex him up, and he like blew her off. He was like watching TV or something, you know? I guess when you're with somebody for a long time, you know how it is. It's like old hat, you know? You actually have to work on it. It's like a fucking second job, you know?
I believe the Kardashians very little. I believe a WWE-based reality show even less.
And honestly, I tell you what, it was funny because Eddie and Matt were talking about it last week, and Eddie was trying to explain to Matt the show, and Matt's like, it's too over the top for me. So Eddie said, made a good point. Eddie's like, it's reality, but it's not real. Like, you know, like that kind of thing. So I'm going to watch it when there's like a marathon. I don't want to invest any time into it when there's so much crap going on. I don't watch reality shows unless they involve sports entertainment or pornography or cooking.
Dude, you know? my wife puts on that fucking Kardashian show and I just want to fucking throw her at the TV. Yeah. It's ridiculous, dude.
If it wasn't illegal, I'd say go for it. But it causes a whole bunch of problems when you start beating them up.
It's not that I want to hurt my wife, but I just want to, you know, pounded into her head how idiotic these shows are. Yeah. Then again, I mean, people could turn around at us and say how idiotic wrestling is. So where the fuck?
She probably said to you, "You watch wrestling."
Yeah, I fucking do. I do a fucking podcast on the fucking. So who's the idiot? I don't know.
I had a partner at work. Every Sunday morning, she would watch reruns of the Jersey Shore. And I turned to her. I was like, "Nick, how do you watch this?" In all fairness, and she looked at me. She goes, "This is coming from somebody who just went to Survivor Series last week." And I said, "Wow, touche, pussycat." Touche.
All right, here. I was talking about my vacation earlier before we started the show. Apparently, there's a show in Spain called Gandia Shore. Not Gandhi, Gandia, which is like some part of Spain. It's basically Spain's take on the Jersey Shore. And apparently this thing fucking does monster numbers. Now, Spain is not nearly as big a country as the United States, but the thing pulls like a fucking 10 or 11 share weekly.
Yeah.
That's insane.
No, it's the wave, and Survivor started all that shit.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't mind Survivor. I loved watching it the first two or three seasons, but after that, like that fucking show is still on the air.
Yeah, it's terrible. All that crap is terrible. All that crap is terrible.
Like Amazing Race and all that shit. Like,
it's all terrible programming, but people eat this shit up, dude. They eat it up.
Fucking Honey Boo Boo's. You know which ones I like? I like the fucking idiots that open up the trailers to find shit in it to try to sell.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the cooking ones, like the guy who, like the Restaurant Impossible, like Gail Kim's husband.
Yes, that show fucking rules.
That dude's awesome because he's like a silly Brit. He walks in there, he goes, "Your food sucks. Your restaurant sucks, and all your clientele sucks."
The best
he walks in there with $10,000 and fixes the fucking thing in 48 hours.
He walks into the kitchen. He's all jacked up. He's like, you make this dish and I'll make this dish and you tell me who fucking makes it better.
He did something with fish one time. He told the chef, he's like, look at you using that frozen crap. He went down a block, got a piece of cod, threw some breading on it, and goes, here, that's how you do it. He's like, he fucking throws the plate at the dude like, yeah, you animal. That's awesome shit. All right, we're steering away from the...
Oh, my God. Yeah, but who cares, man? That's fucking good shit. What awful match happened next before CM Punk?
No, that was it.
All right. So then let's get back on track.
Yeah, CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. I love Paul. I'm a Paul Heyman guy. I am a Paul Heyman guy. I always have been. I'm sorry. With no DQ in this match. David versus Goliath. And I mentioned this last week, and I know you'll agree with me because we're the same age. The David and Goliath thing in wrestling works every single time.
Sure does.
No matter what genre you're in, no matter what decade you're in, no matter what fucking league it is, it works every single time, dude. Perfect. Did you see the match at all?
I think my favorite moment of the match, I mean, there was a lot of great stuff, especially near the end where you could see the two of them just they didn't get frustrated where it was like Austin Rock, where Austin was just beating the shit out of him with a chair for 20 minutes to get the win. But it was like strategically timed, strategically placed. The two of them actually used the chair pretty sparingly, except for when Brock was finally starting to get frustrated. But I think the moment for me in the match was when CM Punk had just had enough of Paul Heyman's shit. And he basically, you could see it in his face where he goes, you know what? I don't give a fuck if I beat Brock Lesnar at this point. I'm kicking the shit out of Paul Heyman. And he fucking proceeds to do just that. And that, to me, that moment right there made that whole match what it was. Everything else was great. But that moment right there where he decided, fuck this, I've had enough of Paul Heyman, that was gold. That was the good shit.
And that's what pro wrestling is missing. The mouthpiece manager who gets involved to the point where the face guy wants to beat the shit out of him more than he wants to beat up his opponent.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like a grab of the collar so the other guy gets the advantage. Like, he fucking drags him in the ring, punches him in the face, and he locks in the fucking, what was it, the Kimura? Kimura?
The Anaconda Vice.
Oh, it was the Vice, okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so now the whole chair thing goes back and forth. At one point, Punk breaks Brock's submission to grab Heyman. Punk hits him with a big right and drops Heyman. Punk gets the Anaconda lock on Heyman.
That's it.
And then Lesnar cracks him with the steel chair over the back of CM Punk. And then Lesnar, with the repeated shots to the back of Punk using the chair, Lesnar has Punk up in the air, connects with the F5, landing face first onto the chair. Again, like you said, timed perfectly. And Lesnar gets the hooks the leg up for the pin.
Yeah, so. and the great thing was, like, we'll talk about Raw in a few minutes, the follow-up. It's just, it's like Punk is just so obsessed where he doesn't even care about Lesnar. He just fucking wants to kill Paul Heyman.
And that's the way it should be, man. And give some of these guys a mouthpiece. You don't have to be – not every wrestler who's gifted in the ring has to cut the 5-star promo. Not everybody can be the Rock, the Austin, the Foley, the Hogan, the Flair, you know – give them a mouthpiece. Give them a mouthpiece. It's missing. It's so missed. And this was perfect proof.
Yeah.
Perfect proof. Just real quick, before that match, they had a backstage footage of Ryback complaining to a catering that his soup was cold and pours soup down the guy's shirt. Ryback's doing his bully thing in the back. I think it's fucking classic.
Well, they got to give him something to do.
We're going to get into that, too, because I have an interesting – I have some interesting questions that I want to ask you in pertaining to Raw and the heel and face situation. But let's finish the card. They cut a promo for the Night of Champions, which is September 15th. They cut a video of a fan taking a body splash from Mark Henry.
Fuck was that?
I hope he signed 1,700 waivers because he's almost 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And that ridiculous fan and his friend sat ringside – for the match. It's like the fucking Doritos, I took a bump from a fat guy fucking contest. I don't know what the hell it was, but Ziggles and Caitlin fought Big E and AJ Lee.
That was just kind of there too. That didn't really, I mean, it didn't wow me. It didn't offend me.
Yeah. Again, Ziggler's getting buried. I don't know why. Somebody doesn't like him. Somebody politically does not like Dolph Ziggler. I am totally convinced now. This guy should have, he should have been champion three times over already. And I'm baffled.
Well, he's been champion twice, so it's not too far off.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, he should be in the picture.
No, I get you.
He should be in that. He should be in there, not teaming up with fucking dish rags. I mean, I think Caitlyn's got a nice rack, but she can't wrestle for shit, man. You got to get her and Titus O'Neil and Kofi Kingston back to school and you know Spot Monkey school and fucking tell them to stop. Because she's just terrible in the ring, and that head was terrible too. I did. I'm fashion police today. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But, you know, nice tits, bad hair, and she's terrible.
You don't like her? I don't know, man. I kind of dig her look.
I like the way she's adorable. She has muscles and big titties. I mean, I'll fuck a mouth, but her hair is fucking terrible.
Absolutely. I don't know. I kind of like that.
All right. Well, we disagree. We agree. We disagree. See, guys, we don't agree on everything. So
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, fucking Eddie's like, oh, you're going to give him a reach around too? Yeah, go fuck your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, all right. Next match. Next match is your main event of the evening. The WWE Championship special guest referee, Triple H, playing the B song. I love Lemmy, but I don't like that King song. Play the game song.
Triple H has to fucking steal the spotlight, bro. You know that by now.
So Captain Shovel is your fucking guest referee. John Cena with the... I didn't know that knot on his elbow was that big, man. He had it covered for this match, but of course, Brian's so over right now, Tony. It's ridiculous.
Oh, believe me. I get it. I know.
I thought this match was fantastic.
Yeah.
And everybody in the room agreed. Even casual wrestling fans who only watch it twice a year were like, this is fantastic.
Did Eddie enjoy it?
Eddie did enjoy it. Eddie, okay. I got to tell you, when Eddie came in the house, I'm like, listen. I said, I know you're going to shit on this in about 48 hours. I says, but, you know, I said, I have to tell you that it's hyped. All of it looks good on paper. He's like, oh, you're absolutely right. He had a nice meal. He enjoyed himself.
I don't think he wanted to ruin it for your kid. That's why.
The kid didn't even watch it. The kid was so occupied with his cousins and running around like an animal, he didn't give a shit. There was a bunch of adults screaming and yelling. JP's a big wrestling fan. So was Chris. We were carrying on. My sister-in-law's boyfriend came. It was a madhouse, but we were all like into it. And Eddie and I were like going back and forth. And Eddie actually enjoyed SummerSlam until the end.
Yeah,
we all called it.
Yeah, of course.
But did you see? Do you want to get into it, or you want to? I want the build up is.
I mean, what else can be said? The build up was there. The story was great. Daniel Bryan winning clean as a sheet with the fucking knee to the head, which was unbelievable.
He did that move in Japan on I saw a match with him and Kenta.
And then he gets to celebrate. And then I hear voices.
Once they dropped the confetti, when he dropped the confetti.
Yeah.
It was.
It was like, this is it. Holy shit. He won and good night, folks.
So my wife jumps up and says, they're going to end this without a swerve. They're gonna, and she kept saying it. I'm like, no. They're going to end this without a swerve? And I'm like, no, they're not. Like, and I kept telling, me and Eddie were like, no, something has to happen. And sure as shit, it did. So, of course, now Orton comes out, teases that he's going to cash it in, stops halfway, turns around, goes back towards the locker room, and then Triple H jacks up Daniel Bryan with the pedigree. Henceforth, Mr. Orton comes back in and pins the now fucking unconscious Daniel Bryan for the win.
And you have your new corporate champion.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, your new champion now is corporate Randy Orton.
Which it kind of, like, I don't mind the finish. Like, it didn't, to be honest with you, this whole storyline, I'm not as angry as people, like, you know what? I'm just going to start getting into it. I don't care if we jump around on Raw because we've been talking about this for a while, but I just want to get to the point. I mean, Daniel Bryan comes out. You know, John Cena brings him out on Raw. Stephanie shits all over him. She had a great line, though, too. She said, you know, not everybody can be an A, but he's a B+. He's a solid B+, which I thought was great. But a lot of people have been bitching and moaning and complaining, like, oh, you know, they're shitting all over Daniel Bryan. It's just Triple H and everybody, you know, like in the McMahon's trying to make a story out of some big thing. But you know what? Like, I'm not angry for that reason. Like, when I was watching the ending of Raw, when everybody's on the stage and Daniel Bryan comes out and he's kind of afraid to come out, but he's pissed off and he's got a purpose. And, you know, the Shield beats him up and Triple H is like, no, back off. Let him get in the ring. And he tries to get in and they fucking give him the RKO and they leave him laying. And they're just basically mocking him. Like, I felt anger, but it wasn't anger that, like, it was just Triple H and the McMahon family hogging the spotlight. It was anger that they would treat this guy the way he did. Not Bryan Danielson, mind you, but the character of Daniel Bryan. And to me, that was the good shit. And that was the reason why I watched wrestling. It didn't have anything to do in my mind at that moment, the way it was built, with Triple H being an egomaniac and everybody just trying to fucking bury this guy. It was furthering the story and making the fucking guy that everybody loves, you know, beating him down and making him look like shit, because when he comes back, it's just going to be that much more epic. And I think they did a great job with it on Monday.
I agree. And I think what the internet wrestling community is lacking, besides education, is common sense. Common sense will tell you that they're not trying to reinvent the wheel, okay? The whole corporate thing, like the David and Goliath thing, works. It worked for Austin. It worked for The Rock. It worked for Mick Foley. It worked for The Undertaker. Every top guy in the business went through it. It worked for Triple H. Every top guy in the business has gone through the corporate angle. It works. You have to have a bad faction. You have to have a good faction. Now, my question to you is, and I posed this to a friend of mine too, I want to know, with all the faces being on the shelf, Sheamus, John Cena, all these guys that are out, who's going to lead the brigade now? Because as you saw last night, they have The Shield. They have Randy Orton. They have, you know, they're going to start adding people to this faction, you know? What are they going to do now to counter with that?
The one thing that did puzzle me on this whole thing was that they had the entire roster standing on the stage.
And not just The Shield.
But not one person, like, came to his fucking aid. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seemed like a little odd to me that, you know.
Well, Triple H did threaten a bunch of, you know, if you touch him, you deal with me, blah, blah. So that bothered me too. But again, just think about all the guys that are hurt right now. And, like, what do you, and all your champions are heels.
Yeah.
Even your women's champion, all of your champions are heel characters at the moment.
Which is unheard of in wrestling.
Exactly. So now, what are they? They have to have Cena's gone. Again, Sheamus is gone. All these guys are gone, Tony. What are they going to do? Are they going to – Ryback's a heel. Brock Lesnar is not re-signed. You're going to put CM Punk back in there?
The only other people they really have are Christian – and Rob Van Dam, who's crazy over because he's Rob Van Dam. He always will be, you know?
You're not bringing Taker back. You're not bringing – unless they bring, like, Shawn Michaels back because he trained Daniel Bryan, and he leaves the brigade, setting him up for him and Triple H down the line. But I can't see that happen either because he's fucking Grizzly Adams with the beard and shooting animals in the woods and shit.
The only thing I'm not going to like is that if this is just a whole fucking, like, holding pattern for Cena to come back in 6 months – you know? Yeah. I just don't know where they're going to go with him at that point.
I mean, I think you made a good point before by saying that this will only help Daniel Bryan with his push now. I mean, he's to the moon now. He's going to be, like, on Jupiter by the time he gets the belt back.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to escalate him to superstardom, I think, at that point.
And it's a fine line. And they need to tread lightly and they need to work it right because, you've seen it with everybody else that they've built up, that, you know, that heat can go away in an instant.
You look at NXT's roster right now with the guys like Ono, with Callahan, Del Sol. You got, like, a shit ton of guys down there. Bo Rotundo. You got a shit ton of guys down there that – a third of them are ready for television.
Yeah.
I don't care what you tell me. Even if you repackage them, even if you gave Sammy Callahan a fucking what was Chavo Guerrero's golf gimmick?
Oh, Kerwin White.
Yeah. Even if you gave him a golf gimmick, I mean, he's a talent. You have to start bringing some of these guys up now. You have to. It's you can't hold them down here for much longer.
You mentioned you made me mention Kerwin White, and all I'm thinking about is Los Matadors. They turn a couple of Puerto Rican guys into Mexicans. Like,
yeah, at least it's not PJ and Santana at this point, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, you know what? Is there anything else that was important on Raw? I mean, you want to touch on the CM Punk stuff with Curtis Axel? I don't remember if there was anything else that's really, like, you know, that was really earth-shattering that we should go into.
Nah, he comes down, he hobbles down the ring, calls Heyman fat. If he has the balls, come out and fight me, blah, blah, blah. Curtis Axel comes out with Heyman, you know, big shoot back and forth. And then that was it. You know, he tells Curtis Axel to tape up because he's going to fight him. The match is okay. Curtis goes after the bad leg. You know, it was Punk. At one point, Punk lifts Axel up on the outside, uses the steel steps for a modified go to sleep. Crowd's going crazy. Punk looks at Heyman, knowing that his client's down. Heyman then, of course, leads head back to escape the rat to Punk. You know, so I mean, it's again building it up. It was a good match. You know, it was a good match. It wasn't nothing crazy. You know,
was there anything else that stood out?
Primetime Players won. You know, I think that was all staged, by the way. Darren Young coming out gay, that was staged. I'm sorry.
You think so?
I know so. Because when the guy interviewed him, he's like, well, he set him up. He's like, well, how do you feel about is there homosexuality in wrestling or whatever? And Darren Young's like, well, I'm gay. And I'm fine with it. And he was like, oh, you're gay? Really? I didn't know. Like, he was, like pretending he was, like, upset. Not upset, but, like, shocked. Yeah. Darren Young's like, what, does it make a difference? And that's my point. My point is, like, it really doesn't matter. You know, like, why couldn't you wait till you finished your career to say, hey, I was a face taker? You know, why couldn't you do it then? You're putting yourself over. Why? Because TMZ covers wrestling? You're not – I mean, I'm not saying Darren Young is a terrible wrestler. I'm saying, like, he's not in a spot where he's a main event guy. So what kind of – you're just doing it for publicity.
It's – you know what? I don't – yeah, at this point, yeah. I mean, it's really weird. Like, we live in a part of the country where, for the most part, you know, being gay is accepted. You know, it's like, you know, Heather has two mommies or Johnny has two daddies. You know, a lot of places in the Midwest, like, they still think that, you know, the gay is the work of the devil and these people need to be either, you know, modified, you know, through their mind or, you know, shunned from society and shit like that. But I don't know. You're right, though, where it shouldn't be at this point. But the only reason you would think that somebody would come out at this stage would be because they're looking for publicity. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Like, I don't know. I'm not gay. I don't know how hard it is, you know, these days in 2013 for certain people to come out and others not to come out. So, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time, you know, thinking one way or the other, whether it was just a publicity stunt or, you know, here he just seized an opportunity and said, like, hey, you want a bombshell? I'll tell you I'm gay. Like, I don't know.
And another question was asked to me if it was a top guy. Like, let's say it was a John Cena or it was a Dolph Ziggler or an Alberto Del Rio. Would it make a difference? Possibly. But now you're in a PG era. This would never fly in the Attitude Era because you had guy. It was everything was over the top.
Oh my God! Did you ever? And I know we've played it on the show when Jerry Lawler was calling out Gold Dust.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And that wasn't even New Generation shit. That wasn't even Attitude Era.
That was right after Raw started. It was like 93, 94? Yeah. That's crazy shit. No, nothing else really on Raw. Big Show's back.
Well.
Yeah, the Big Slow is back. I could see him against the Corporation. I guess I could see Mark Henry in that. I guess maybe they would recruit Ziggles. I'm still playing this back in my head who I would recruit to fight the corporate faction of the McMahons now, you know?
I would get... Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Test. Tugboat's Whistle.
That's it.
And Mankind.
Kamala's Foot.
Kamala's feet. Everybody forgets that he's missing both feet now.
He's missing both feet now. That's right. By the way, did you go into that shop? You get any swag from that
no,
shop?
No, it was closed. It was closed. We were just walking by. I said, holy shit, Kamala. I had to grab my phone and take a picture of it. And, of course, I couldn't get it up on the Facebook until I got back. But, yeah, it was good times. I couldn't stop laughing.
That was fantastic. I showed it to everybody.
Kamala.
But again, yeah. So John Cena comes out, and I'm jumping all over the place with Raw. But at this point, who cares? Raw was good. John Cena shows the knot on his elbow.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, as a medical professional, it looked fantastic.
I just I wanted to like fucking lance it and squeeze it myself. You know, I just wanted to grab onto it with my whole fucking fist and just.
Yeah, maybe overweight Larry can eat it.
Hey guys.
Hey guys, how's it going? But no, he has to get the surgery. So again, now two of your top heels on the shelf. Now they're gonna they're gonna have to reinvent some of these guys, kick them in the ass, or start bringing some guys up from the Bush Leagues, Tony. Because I mean, it's come to that now. You know, Cody Rhodes maybe, but he's on SmackDown. I mean, what are you gonna? I don't know what you're gonna. I don't know.
Listen, just because he's on SmackDown, that doesn't mean shit anymore.
But you know what I mean. Like, he has to be consistently on the big show every week. You
and
know
he shaved his mustache.
Yeah, my son says to my wife, "Where's Cody's mustache?"
Well, because so
my wife goes, maybe he lost a bet. You know,
he he's a face now, so the facial hair has to go away. Remember that old gag?
Oh, please. Fucking terrible, terrible booking. But again, it was a nice follow up to a really good pay per view. First time that's happened since Mania, because Mania was, of course, Raw was better than Mania. But this was a point where both shows were actually decent. So
yeah,
it was good. It was pretty good.
Good times all around, and Raw had good moments that furthered the story, both with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. It's nice to see that those guys are both getting their due in some way, shape, or form. It's nice to see. We've got business to take care of. We've got a little Impact Player tournament that we never finished from God knows when.
Yeah, the 16 Impact Players of WWE history. And, I mean, I guess we'll break it down. You want to start from the first round again? And not who, why we picked them, but who the winners were of the first round, and then we'll go forward with that.
And what I'll do real quick is just remind people out there that this was not just some willy-nilly, hey, let's pick 16 of our favorite guys and let them go head-to-head and whatnot. We actually painstakingly went through about 30 guys that we came up with, and quite a few of the picks that we had that we came up with were tough decisions to get rid of. So this was not something, like I said, that we just, you know, pulled names out of a hat. We put a lot of effort into it, and we even put a lot of thought into the first round of 16. And just to take you back, in the first round, we had Bruno Sammartino, who was a number one seed. He had a first round win over Triple H. The Rock, who was a number two seed, had a win over Randy Savage, which I took some shit for on Facebook again
today.
You did,
yeah.
But we'll get into that. Right. Steve Austin in the second bracket, he was a number one seed. He went over the Ultimate Warrior, and Andre the Giant went over the Undertaker. In the third bracket, Hulk Hogan went over Superstar Billy Graham. He was a number one seed as well, Hogan. And Chris Jericho went over Bret Hart, which was another thing we took shit about. Cena and John Cena, the number one seed in the last bracket. And Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper went to a double disqualification, our schmoz, for the WWE tournament, as
schmoz,
usual.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels went over Edge. So our Elite Eight, I guess, is Bruno Sammartino against The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin against Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan against Chris Jericho, and Shawn Michaels receives a bye into the final four. So that's where we stand right now. Give you a little background on who's left. Bruno Sammartino, since we last did this, has become part of the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2013. He's a two-time WWWF champion, holding the title from 1963 to 1971, and again from 1973 to 1977. He worked for over two decades for all the McMahons, rarely lost clean. His second reign came about because the business was doing terribly and they needed a name to come back. He also held numerous titles in Toronto with the NWA, as well as some of the NWA tag titles. And he takes on The Rock. We all know about The Rock. Since last we met, The Rock has become a 10-time WWE champion, also having two world championship title reigns. He's held the IC belt, the tag belts, former PWI 500 number two in 2000. He's a 2000 Royal Rumble winner, and he's the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. I give it to you, Mr. Rea. Bruno Sammartino versus The Rock.
I'm going to take Bruno.
I hate to say it.
But you did too.
Okay, let me hear your reasoning.
He's a better wrestler. That's the bottom line. I think Bruno's impact to the 60s and 70s transcended on how The Rock did it in the 90s and 2000s. I think if it wasn't for Bruno packing the guard now 50 million times, or him being the superstar that he was, I think, you know, Rock would never be that guy, whether he did movies or not. And again, Bruno's a better wrestler.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it also comes down to that Bruno, the guy rarely lost a match, and even more rare, lost a match clean. You know?
Yep.
When he first lost the title to Ivan Koloff, I believe that one was you know, pretty clean in and of itself. I think, if I remember right, even when he lost to superstar Billy Graham, wasn't his foot on the ropes, or Graham's feet were on the ropes, right?
Yeah, he cheated.
So, I mean, like, Bruno, throughout his career, has rarely ever lost an actual, like, a true clean fight. I mean, you know, he has lost, don't get me wrong, the guy's not undefeated, but, you know, and it just speaks volumes to not only the character that he was, but the faith that they put behind him, you know, and for so many years, and for him to come back for a second title reign, like, he was done with the business, and they're like, Bruno, we need you back.
Dude, he was champion for, like, 8 years.
Yeah. And they brought him back for another, what, 3 or 4 years on top of that?
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
And no matter how over The Rock is, and no matter how great The Rock is, and don't get me wrong, he has been great for the business, and he still is great for the business, so much so that they're putting his picture on the cover of the new WWE video game, which looks sick, by the way.
It looks fantastic.
I might actually buy... I mean, I bought that All-Stars game that they did or whatever it was
called. We still play it, yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, like, I haven't bought a real, like, you know, like, intricate storyline kind of game in a real long time. So I'm actually thinking about getting this one.
I'm actually going your route, and I'm going to buy another N64. And Chris Espo is going to – he has a connection to get all the wrestling games.
Nice.
So as we speak, I'm building my little cave up here for my new studio. It's coming in a couple of weeks. I'm going to put that in the studio and play some old No Mercy and NWO and WrestleMania 2000. I can't wait. Those games were great. And they all had the same engine.
Yeah.
They all had the same kind of moves and all other shit. So I can't wait to play that. It's going to be fun.
I got to tell you, you know, I had the second Nintendo 64. I actually packed it up and brought it overseas with me. And we left it at my wife's house in Spain. And, dude, it's so easy right now. Like, the TV is wired for every kind of signal you can imagine. So it was just a matter of plugging the fucking thing in, and it was working. It was beautiful, dude. I was playing some No Mercy over there. It was great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Not because I'm showing my age, but I think it was a better control. But this new game that's coming out looks insane. I'm actually gonna I buy two games every year. I buy Madden and I buy a hockey game. But this year I'm actually gonna buy three. So we're gonna pick up Madden in a couple of weeks, and we're gonna pick up that new game because I really want to use the Ultimate Warrior. And they have like that 30 years of WrestleMania, and they have a whole roster.
That looks sick.
That looks insane. I love King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Ultimate Warrior, Roddy Piper.
It's the same arenas, dude. Like, they had video of Savage picking up Elizabeth and Hogan pointing at him and shit. And it's Trump Plaza, dude.
That's Jersey, man.
It's crazy.
WrestleMania 4 and 5.
Yes.
All right, so your next match in the bracket was Austin and Andre.
Austin, 6-time WWF champion, former Intercontinental Tag Team Champion, 96 King of the Ring winner, won 3 Royal Rumbles, 97, 98, 2001. Million Dollar Champion, Hall of Famer 2009 class, former WCW US Tag and TV Champ, number one in the PWI 500 in 98 and 99, and he was thought to be the godfather, creator, pioneer of the Attitude Era. And Andre the Giant, former WWF and WWF Tag Team Champion, Involved in the biggest match probably in WrestleMania history, WrestleMania 3 versus Hulk Hogan. He was the first person inducted into the WWF Hall of Fame in 1993. He won the IWGP tournament and the MSG League, and he's also held several tag titles, some of which were with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, daddy. So you have Steve Austin and Andre the Giant, and you know what? As big and as tall and as massive as Andre the Giant is, I think Steve Austin finds a way to win this one. I'm going with Austin.
I also took Austin only because we got to see Andre at the tail end of what he had, sadly. If you watch the three DVDs that Dave just gave me from his stuff in Japan, absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. Andre
was a talent.
Oh, yeah. He could go. I just think that – why did I sound like Dusty Rhodes there? I was kind of
listening. If you will.
Jesus.
You can go right there, daddy.
I was you just think about Austin and every single storyline the guy was in, he overcame like insurmountable odds.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
A lot of the big wins over his career, I mean, he dominated The Rock for their whole battle. You know, all the wars he had with McMahon, everything that McMahon threw at him, he always came out on top. And the guy's perennially popular. Like they could bring him back every week and he would spike the ratings, you know?
Yeah, and I think Andre would have been the same kind of guy. Not as popular though, but they could have brought him back for anything because he was that impressionable with the industry. But again, Austin just trendsetted, man.
I think Andre would have been happy, and Andre would have had no problem, you know, doing a solid. I guess is a terrible word, but you know, like he would have no problem with losing to a guy like Austin either.
No.
If you want to take it in that direction.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, yes. Hogan talks about having nightmares and whether Andre was going to shoot on him and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, legitimately, if Andre wanted to shoot on someone, especially in his prime, he could have easily handled anyone in the ring. But I don't think that he gets a win over Austin. I think Austin takes him down and continues on.
Everybody forgets how impressive Austin is as a performer. He's a great wrestler. His stuff with the Blondes, his stuff with Steamboat, his stuff with The Rock, like amazing, amazing matches.
He suffers a near career-ending injury, and he completely changes the style of North American wrestling in the process.
Yeah, people were shaving their heads and buying the T-shirts, and they were no longer saying their prayers and eating their vitamins. They were 316 and giving their bosses the middle finger and everything else. So
yeah, during a match, wasn't even keeping him within the ropes anymore. Taking him out to the ring, taking him to the back, beating the shit out of him with weapons, and then taking him in the ring and fucking, you know, putting on a clinic.
Yeah, and his King of the Ring match with Mark Merrow, I think, put him over the top. I mean, I know he beat Jake in the finals, but I think his match with Mark Merrow, you saw what kind of guy you were getting at that point.
Yeah.
The grit, the toughness, the F you, kiss my ass, 316. That you were getting that before he even beat Jake Roberts that night. Coming back from the stitches, that was awesome. So
absolutely.
So all right, so Michaels gets a bye, right?
Yeah, Michaels is fortunate enough that John Cena, Super Cena, had a rough and tumble time with Rowdy Roddy Piper, who was the only man in the tournament that has never won a world championship. By the way, just goes to show you what kind of painstaking process we went through to figure this thing out.
It took us about 2 weeks to get this list together.
Yeah, and
we got shit for that too. So
we get shit for everything. So what the fuck?
I don't give a shit.
You know somebody's bitching and moaning around. They're like, oh, they fucking agreed twice already. Jesus Christ.
So all right, Hogan Jericho. What do you got on Chris Jericho?
Okay, let me pull up Jericho's notes. He's let me see. Former WWE champ, former three-time world champion, and two-time WCW champion. He was the first man, well, I guess since Randy Savage, if you want to be technical, to be the undisputed champion. Numerous Intercontinental European Tag Team Championships, held the TV and the Cruiserweight belts in WCW, and he ranked number two in the PWI 500 in 2009. And his opponent, probably the most well-known wrestler in the history of the sport, Mr. Hulk Hogan. He was the first IWGP tournament winner in 1983. He won the MSG Tag League with Antonio Inoki in 82 and 83. Number one in the PWI 500 in 199. What fucking year was that? Anyway, and he was also number one in the for the PWI years, which was done in 2003. Former six-time WWE champion, six-time WCW champion, held the tag titles in WWF with Edge, two-time Royal Rumble winner 1990-1991, WWE Hall of Fame class of 2005. Currently involved in the TNA storyline with Aces and Eights and his recently fired daughter, Brooke.
So he was the first back-to-back Rumble winner, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And he was also the first two-time winner, wasn't he?
Right. Yeah, okay. So. Okay.
Holding many dubious distinctions.
I have to take Hogan at this point over Jericho.
People are going to fucking hate us, dude. What
I know. So it's Hogan and Michaels.
Okay, I mean, is there any question why you're taking Hogan over Jericho? Is it big comeback after the Lion Salt, or does Hogan power out of the walls of Jericho?
Yeah, it's the size difference, man. Hogan's got about 30, 40 pounds on him. The height difference, the asthma attack comeback he has, and yeah, of course, he kicks out of the Lion Salt. He has the breathing difficulty, and he fucking starts up his big comeback with the leg drop and the 1-2-3, and I'm the real American, and he flexes for the crowd, and then he goes and puts some tan lotion on his daughter. So
the only thing I was thinking about today, the whole time that I was pondering this Hogan Jericho match, was Hogan actually being gracious to somebody that, not even comparative in size to him, but somebody smaller in size. And the only person I could think of was Billy Kidman, and we all know how fucking awful that was.
Yeah, I again, it's just the size difference and, the charisma. Jericho was funny as hell, and he's a good worker, and the ring is phenomenal, actually. But again, Hogan, it's Hogan.
That seems to be the thought with a lot of people too when trying to do something like this. It's like, you know, it's Hogan, and it's like, it's not even just like a yeah, it's Hogan. It's understood that it's Hogan. There's no other real way to say it.
Right.
There's very few things that you could say in this world like that. You know, like fucking everybody. You know, you're born, you die, and Hogan.
That's it.
I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right.
So, Shawn Michaels gets a bye, and we're looking at our final four right now, which we both agree on. So, if you don't like it, eat a bag of fried dicks. We have Bruno Sammartino against Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan against the only non-number one seed left, number two seeded Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels. All right. I took Austin over Bruno.
Really?
I did.
See, I went Bruno over Austin.
I think... Again, Austin's wrestling ability is very, very underrated. Bruno was fantastic and can grapple with the best of them. But Austin has that edge. Austin, you see his stuff with Steamboat, his stuff with Regal. His TV title stuff was fantastic. His U.S. champion stuff was fantastic. His stuff with Pillman was amazing when they broke up the team. His stuff was just, even in ECW, he was good. You know, like, that's why I took a better wrestler, I thought, for very underrated.
Who? Austin was underrated?
Yeah, as a wrestler. I think he was underrated. I think once he...
Yeah, I think, I get what you're saying. I think what you mean is, like, a lot of the stuff that people know him for... is, you know, from King of the Ring on with the Attitude Era and Austin McMahon and all that stuff. And people don't get an appreciation. But I will throw that argument back at you with Bruno Sammartino. People just think of him as some squatty Italian guy who, you know, like was, you know, nobody was doing anything in professional wrestling in the 60s and 70s. So this guy just got to carry around the belt because the business was different and you had 8 or 9 year title reigns. And that's not the case either. I mean, you look about... You know, a lot of people don't know the names, but if you look at Bruno Sammartino's programs and his opponents over the years that he was champion, even when he wasn't champion, big fucking names that he went up against, dude. Really big names. I mean, he was the guy that gave Billy Graham his start, you know? Nobody really knew in the Northeast anyway who Billy Graham was until he fucking clashed heads with Sammartino. You know, and like...
And what was it? And but the counter argue that you look at like WrestleMania was at 13, I think it was, when him and Bret Hart went at it. And even like when the dirt sheets were making a rotation, everybody had Bret Hart. Everybody. They're like, there's no way this upstart tough guy with the bald head is going to come out and beat the excellence of execution, the five moves of doom, the hitman, you know, the guy who took the torch from Hogan and kept the company going. You know, they all thought that Bret Hart was going to easily walk away from that, and it wasn't the case.
Well, I mean, he did win. It wasn't
no, he won
victory.
The match, but like it's transcended the industry. Gave them that push. You know what I'm saying?
I get you, but it was. I think it was just as much Bret Hart as it was Austin. You know,
That's fair.
I think the icing. I believe me, I'm not trying to take away from the moment, but I don't know if necessarily that's a complete Austin moment. Like I'll give you an example with Bruno. Bruno gets his neck broken by Stan Hansen. Comes back, wasn't supposed to, neck still broken. They have a schmoz fest at Shea Stadium where he just fucking chased him around the infield for like 5 or 10 minutes. They didn't even have a match, and the crowd was fucking beside themselves watching Bruno kick the shit out of Stan Hansen. Just nuts. The dude just had everybody and their grandmother eating out of the palm of his hand.
It'd be a great match.
Oh, it would. It would.
It'd be a great match.
So, how do we decide this? Are we sticking with Austin? Are we going with Bruno? I'm not quite sure. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we make a definitive decision and one of us changes our minds, let's go Hogan and Michaels.
I never liked Hulk Hogan. Okay, let's just for the record, you know I'm not a Hulkamaniac. Never was. I bought the figure when I was a kid just to take his belt from him, even though Paul Orndorff's stance was terrible. You couldn't do anything with the Paul Orndorff figure. It was terrible.
He was flexing, and he was taller.
I know.
And he was taller than Andre.
My first favorite wrestler. And, you know, I think Michael's a little more, actually a lot more talented than Jericho. Around the same weight, Michaels had more charisma. Michaels was just a better wrestler. I'm sorry, a performer. Jericho, a better chain wrestler. I hate Hulk Hogan, but I got to put him in the finals.
Really?
Yep.
Fucker, you talked him up so well. I'm like, holy shit, he's going to agree with me to go with Shawn Michaels on this.
No.
Wow.
I think with the guys in place, and if this was maybe Bret Hart or John Cena, though, if those guys were still in the brackets against Hogan, you may have gotten a different answer from me. But I think Hulk Hogan is can beat the Shawn Michaels. I think, you know, I don't know. I just, again, it's
I think Shawn Michaels is bitter. I think he's upset about how things had to go down the first time they faced each other. I think that honestly, a lot of people in their minds thought that Shawn Michaels should have won that match. And honestly, when it came down to it. And you know what? I have to agree and disagree with you. I loved Hulk Hogan as a kid. I was a huge Hulkamaniac. He was always my favorite. And then when things started happening around the Royal Rumble where he pulled Sid Vicious out, I was just like, well, you know what? This guy's kind of an asshole. Like, yeah, I remember when he used to eye rake people and scratch people's backs and shit, but it was always like the good guy giving the bad guy a taste of his own medicine. But now this guy's just acting like a dick.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And don't get me wrong, Shawn Michaels is a fucking dickhead half of his life anyway. But I tell you, I see the match going. You know, I see Shawn Michaels kicking out of a leg drop. I see, you know, Hulk Hogan kicking out of Sweet Chin Music. But I see a spot finishing the match where Hogan, you know, runs off the ropes to drop the leg again. And Shawn just kips up and pop right under the chin and 1, 2, 3. And Shawn Michaels makes the finals.
All right. So you have Michaels and Bruno, and I have Austin and Hogan.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do we want to do? Do we want to stick with this? This is a weird conundrum we have here.
We can leave it up to the Facebook page.
Yeah, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We could fuck them again, and we could do this again and have our own final after the people have their opinions. That's a great idea, Mr. Raya.
But that's what we should do, and this we'll keep up with it this time. We won't fucking wait another 8 months before it happens again.
Well, if it comes down to it, we'll have an excuse to do it at Legends of the Ring.
Well, technically, that's a good that, yeah, we should, you know, you guys should start a poll on that site you guys had.
We can get everybody involved. We can get Dave involved. We can get, you know, Matt and Eddie and Kevin involved.
Get the jury involved and the Netbreaker guys, and
that might not be a bad, that's not a bad idea at all. We should just fucking do that.
See if PJ will give us 2 cents in. He'll be there. You know, that'd be cool too.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that we couldn't get him there, but good for him that he was there, that he's involved. You know, I like to see that.
Yeah. But that's it. So it's either Austin Hogan or Michaels and Bruno.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not like, well, I would have picked Austin and I would have picked, you know, Mike. I would have picked Michaels and this and that. No. Phil picks Hogan and Austin, and I pick Bruno and Sean.
And I'm gonna push the envelope a little further. Dave and I have a new segment called Fantasy Warfare.
Okay.
What we do is we take previous storylines and we rewrite them with either the same people or different. Case in point, Dave took he put Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes, I heard you guys talking about that. Okay.
So what I want to do with it though is I want to make an entire storyline out of it. Like I want to actually write a couple of sentences, maybe a paragraph on how you think the entire angle would go down. Even do a descriptive match like we almost did here with Michaels and Hogan, and something like that. Like we used to, like in the old PWI and the wrestler books, you know, they have like the fantasy warfare.
Yeah.
You know, and you would like, you know, paint the picture of how you think it would go down. You know, you want to throw a manager in there, you want to throw a, you know, whatever.
Okay, so let me ask you, do you want to give what our final, what our champions would be, or do you want to just hold it off at the 2-2 right now?
Yeah, hold it off to 2-2, and then we'll announce our champions, and then we'll play them out. We'll play them out, and then we'll do a fantasy warfare episode after that, and we'll get you on with me and Dave, and we'll fucking finish it out. Should be a nice end of the year, you know?
That is not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea.
So there you have it. You have your final four for us. And,
well, our final two and final two.
Final two, yeah. Whatever. Final two. But you let the fans, you know, I know Lopez is going to have something to say.
Oh, of course.
I know fucking Matt and Eddie are going to have something to say. I know Tim Grimes was talking about it today. So I know a lot of guys are going to say something, which is cool. We want interest. I know JP from the Man Cave will have something to say. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to come about. It should be fun.
Truthfully, I really thought you were going to take Shawn Michaels.
I wanted to, and I did. No, I'm not going to lie to you. I did, but you know what? I'm giving Hogan that respect, even though I can't stand this character. I saw a whole bunch of you fucking sick Hulkamaniacs every week as a kid, every month as a kid in the garden, dude. I was there almost every month for like 3 years straight. So like for me, it was like, when's this guy going to die already? You know, when's it going to kill him all? I thought the one man gang was going to kill him. I popped when they announced his name. I'm like, oh, this is great. One man gang's going to come and kill him. I saw that guy in a magazine. Like, I thought people were coming to get him. Like, this is fantastic. Every heel that came through, I'm like, oh, good. The boss man will get him. Negative. This guy will get him. Negative. Oh, Macho Man Turner, Mega Powers. Negative. You know, it's just like, oh, for Andre. I thought Andre was going to get him in WrestleMania 3. I was convinced, man. I was WrestleMania 3, Richard Grove Arena, closed circuit. I sat in the middle of a boxing ring with a big screen in my own neighborhood, and like 150 people watched it. And again, they sold programs, and I was like, this is great. Andre's going to do it. Andre's going to win the belt. This is his time. And it just didn't come to pass. He passed the torch, and Hogan's that guy. Hogan transcended the business. Hogan is partially the reason why we have shitty wrestling on television. But then again, on the flip side of that, he's also the reason why it's very entertaining as well.
No, and believe me, I show respect to every single person that we put in this tournament. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if you asked me 10 years ago, I would probably have a different answer, and I would probably go with Hogan. But I don't know, man. I think as much as Hogan's done for the business, I just think that Shawn Michaels would you know, really outclass him and figure out a way to beat him.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, I probably would have gave you a different answer too, maybe 10 years ago. You know, we're at that age now where, you know, we're seeing things maybe not I don't want to say clearer because then that's too biased. The rest of the guys will get pissed at it. It's like, what are you, because you're fucking old, you're smarter than us? Well, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like, but, it's like Patrice O'Neal once said. He's like, you know, I got 10 years of my life more than you. You don't think I'm smarter than you? You don't think I know more than you?
Exactly.
It's how it is, bro.
So with that,
fuck them if they can't take it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we disagreed on some shit.
And I got to be honest with you. You know, when we first started doing this, you know, Bruno Sammartino wasn't even in consideration, I don't think, for the Hall of Fame at that point. So, you know, I was constantly gung-ho, like, oh, Bruno would fucking destroy everybody, this and that. I mean, not that any of my picks are any different, but, you know, when you step back and you think, like, okay, well, now he finally got his due, you know, that kind of subsided. Now, that didn't lead me to picking Bruno in the earlier rounds. But, you know, my mindset was, like, this guy didn't, like you said, get the respect that he deserved. He's not in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, things change.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
just because, know, I have Bruno in the final two doesn't necessarily mean that I would have picked Bruno over Shawn Michaels anyway. But you guys won't know that until we have our discussion on it now, will you?
Nope, not at all. How stoked are you, speaking of Bruno, how stoked are you for that MSG disc coming out in a couple of weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good stuff.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that. That's going to be fantastic.
Did you did you hear us at the 100th episode joking about that thing?
Yeah.
With fucking putting Diesel and Bob Backlund in every fucking instant replay and there's fucking 15 Easter eggs on the discs.
I tell you, again, you had to have been there. And again, I sound biased because I was there, but you had to have been there in its heyday. In the 80s anyway, for that matter. It was month after month after month. It was
every month, dude. It was the Garden, it was the Spectrum in Philly, it was the Boston Gardens, and it was the Meadowlands and
Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the Meadowlands and the Madison Square Garden shows were on cable every week, every month.
I didn't even have cable. So yeah. again, this was before cable for me, man. This was my Monday Night Raw.
And this is what bugged me out.
It was monthly Raw.
You know, we used to watch All American Wrestling on USA. They had the Tuesday Night Titans, which became primetime wrestling and all that stuff. And I was so used to watching the shows on MSG. As a matter of fact, that was the first time I saw wrestling. It was a card at the Garden. I want to say it was 85. It was, or maybe it was later in 84. It was Hogan against Big John Studd, and Hogan was wearing his all white outfit. And he had it had to be 85. It was the old silver belt that he had. The one that looks like the NWA national and TV titles.
I love that belt.
I loved it too, but they decided, I guess, the NWA had too many lesser titles with it, so they fucking dumped it real quick. But yeah, so like I was always ingrained to know that the big shows were always on MSG. So when fucking WrestleMania 1 rolls around, 1 o'clock fucking All American Wrestling ends, and I put on MSG and some fucking other awful show was on and it wasn't wrestling. I said, where the fuck do I have to go to see WrestleMania? And that was it. Like that was my fucking first brain fart as a kid that I didn't realize that I have to go somewhere else to go see wrestling.
Yeah, for me it was Channel 9 wrestling when they played at 11 o'clock at night. They had three shows. Yeah, actually had two shows on Saturday, one show on Sunday. I'm sorry, three shows. You had a 10 a.m., a 6 p.m., and then they replayed at 11 p.m. Then they played was it Challenge or Superstars on Sundays? I forget which one it was.
I think it was Sundays. Saturdays they used to show Superstars, and Challenge was on Sundays or something.
Right.
No, you know what? I actually had the advantage, not that I'm rubbing it in, I had the advantage of on our cable system, there were so few channels, if you can get around your head around this. We used to get TV 29 out of Philadelphia before Fox Network came along. They were one of like the big syndicated channels. It was 29 in Philly, which became a Fox channel. There was Channel 5 in New York, which used to be WNEW before they changed to WNYW and became part of Fox. I know, I'm fucking showing my age again. But because we had both of them, we used to get Superstars at 10 a.m. and then Challenge right away at 11. And then you would see Challenge again on Sunday on Channel 9, which was WOR here in the New York area. So, like, yeah, well, every hour you could imagine on a weekend, it was wrestling, WWE or WWF. You would get the TBS Superstation, the 605. and you would get Glow, and you would get American Gladiators, and your fucking Saturday was killer.
Yeah, I didn't get that stuff. I had the Saturday wrestling, the Sunday wrestling, and then UHF during the week. Yeah. UHF during the week was Mid-Atlantic, NWA, and it was all like, you know, like 3 months prior. So if Starrcade happened, I didn't see it until fucking March, you know. But even still, they had Florida wrestling with Purple Haze. Remember Mark Lewin with the. What the hell is it? Kevin Sullivan, Purple Haze. That was great. Florida wrestling was good. I had all that stuff on U68. And then once in a blue moon, fucking Telemundo on the UHF channel would give you some Carlos Colon. Not very often, but you had to catch it like on an off day or whatever it was.
Dude, I can still put on Univision on a Saturday and watch fucking Lucha Libre. I love that shit.
It's fantastic.
Well, it's not fantastic. It's pretty awful what they put on TV, but it is.
No, I mean, it's fantastic that we could still watch it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just terrible that it's still on TV like that, but again, it was something that, it was an alternative.
Yeah, if you really think like wrestling in the United States is bad, put on fucking Lucha. You'll see just how awful it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to shit on it because I watch it. I do enjoy it. I like watching all the fucking Mexican ladies on the stage dancing the guys to the ring and shit like that. And, you know, the characters are pretty interesting, and they still use a six-sided ring, which is cool. But, you know, by and large, it's really not that great.
No.
Of the guys can go. Other ones are just like, whatever.
And it's cool. It was clear cut. There wasn't that guy's like, well, he's okay. No, you're either good or you're bad, and that's it.
Yeah, and it takes a few, like I mean, WCW really doesn't give you a flavor for it, but to get a flavor of how Lucha is with, like, two referees and getting thrown out of the ring and somebody else can just jump in, like, the rules are just a little bit different, but you pick it up right away, and it's something to watch, and it's cool to watch it, but, you know, don't watch it thinking that you're getting WrestleMania every week.
No, don't. You'll get discouraged quick.
Like, if Eddie wants to feel better about what he's watching on TV in the States, he should fucking watch Lucha once in a while.
It's not going to get any better. You have to just pray it does, man.
No, it's been getting better. Come on.
It's been getting better.
We talked about it for an hour. It's getting better. It's looking good right now.
You know, and we're older fans. And if an older fan could still keep the interest with the ulterior motives like we're doing now with a podcast, I think it's safe to say that it is going in the right direction.
Yes.
Let's just hope that they keep that momentum without worrying about, you know, who's on top. Worry about, you know, who's on top, not what's on. Put what's on top instead of who's on top. That's my point, you know? And this is on top. This corporate angle is on top. And I think it can go. You can stretch this to fucking Mania if you wanted to. If you do it the right way.
You could stretch it as far as Lillian Garcia's meat curtains.
Oh, those empanadas he's got hanging down there. Empanadas,
fucking chalupa lips.
Chalupa lips. That's a new handle. Chalupa lips. Good job, Tony.
That's the network's new webpage, chalupalips.com.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Shining Throwbacks, a special presentation from our friends at the Shining Wizards Network, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks and Shining Wizards podcast. Don't forget, we have 5 other shows on the Great Network. We've got the Neckbreaker Boys. We've got the Fallen Angels, who had their debut episode a few weeks ago, which I loved.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, to say the least.
Let's see. There's also Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101. 2.5 Wrestlers. Who did I miss? I missed somebody, didn't I?
You got Neckbreaker. You got the Midnight Jury.
The Midnight Jury. That's it. Adam and Mike. I took a picture of a bag of candy that I found in Barcelona. I don't know if you saw it. I put it up on Facebook. It's a little fellow of dark skin with looks like he's wearing those plastic Halloween lips.
Oh no!
But without the fangs.
Yeah.
Oh, he thought it was the greatest thing ever. I actually brought him back a candy bar with that kid on it.
That's fantastic.
Well, when you're going to the most racist country in the world, you kind of got to expect something like that, right?
Yeah, a little Sambo candy bars, absolutely.
It was sick. I forget what restaurant I was at, but it looked like they had a pepper shaker that was of that character as well, like on like the cart that the waiter has, which was kind of fucking, you know, disturbing.
It was funny when you were a kid, when you went to the movie theater, you remember the Rico's Nachos commercials?
No, I don't.
It was a little nacho. We try Rico's Nachos. The kid, a little nacho comes out with a smiley face and goes, "See." And this was in the theater all the time. People got offended about that. Like, I remember back in the day, they were like, Mexicans and Latin American people were fucking outraged. But you still saw, that was the only commercial you saw in the theater. Try Rico's Nachos. See. And so now, fast forward 39 years later, I'm in the fucking Walmart in Bayonne, of all places. And what do I see in the snack aisle? Reheatable Ricos nachos.
That's hilarious.
Nacho cheese. I'm doing the commercial up and down the aisle. And finally, at like the fifth aisle, someone who's our age caught it and went, see? I was like, see? You know. You know. Shout out to you, Bayonne, New Jersey.
That's awesome that you're hanging out in Bayonne. I love it.
Well, dude, I'm in Bayonne every other week, brother.
You have to. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere in Staten Island.
No, you can't. Only come to my house. Speaking of, try to come over for Survivor Series, man. We're going to do a Thanksgiving-themed Survivor Series. Mega Powers is already on board. Eddie said he's coming. So now you and Matt got to try to come through.
Well, if Matt stops fucking flipping pizzas once in a while.
Dude, you know what? I had dinner there for my birthday. He could flip as many pizzas as he wants. That's
He does a great job. I took my kid to the... The farmer's market in Jersey City before we went on vacation, and we took a couple of pies home. It was great.
That it's a fine establishment, man. He took care of me for my birthday. And I'm a little skeptical when it comes to pizza, brother. I don't eat pizza outside of the five boroughs, you know?
Dude, I hear you. And let me just add to that. There's a lot of shit pizza in New York.
Absolutely there is.
Shit. And I'm not even talking about like the $5 joints. I'm talking like... fucking like Mama Leone's, and it's like fucking awful pizza. I would eat Papa John's before I would eat that shit.
Well, that's what I do when I go out of town. I get Papa John's and I get Domino's. I don't get disappointed. I can't tell you how many times I went to like the Jersey Shore and grabbed a slice of pizza. And I want to throw it at the guy, you know?
Yeah. They buy the shit dough, the shit fucking cheese. It's just awful.
My buddy opened a bagel spot and pizza spot down in Florida. He was having drums of water shipped to him from New York. Because the water was bad.
Yeah, I don't blame you. A lot of those guys do. Like even, I don't know if you're familiar with the place. There was one or two of them in Manhattan, a cheesesteak place, 99 miles to Philly.
I heard about that place.
Friend of mine who loved the place and got me hooked on it told me the reason why it's so good is because they get their bread from Philly every fucking morning.
That's fantastic.
That's what you got to do, man. You want to make it authentic. That's what you got
to
do.
But, you know, but getting back to Matt's spot, my wife was like blown away. And she's more Italian than I am, you know. And she's like, again, they had like the stuffed figs, and we had a nice salad and some pizza. It was amazing. So shout out to him. He can flip as many fucking pies as he wants.
Let me tell you, they used to have a restaurant across the street from that place, and they closed it up. I guess the pizzeria was just doing that much better business. But even when they had the restaurant, dude, amazing shit. Their chef that they had there was just coming up with all kinds of crazy stuff. It's good times.
Yeah, no joke. I'm not even bullshitting. It was fantastic. So, but you guys have to try to come over for Survivor Series, man. It's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to figure that out. And don't forget, we got a date with Destiny Monroe. We're gonna get pictures with David San Martino and the APA.
Oh, crap! I want a bumper from Dusty, man. I know it's gonna be pain. It's probably not gonna happen, but I want a bumper from Dusty. I gotta get something recorded from Dusty.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for the network or something, we gotta get him on. All this would be come to fruition, man. If I can get Dusty on, be fantastic.
I've plugged everything with the network. You want to give a shout out to any of your boys, Chris and Will and all those guys?
Yeah, shout out to Will and Chris. They got signed to More Like Radio. They'll be on there shortly. They're still on Radio Influence. They're recording now as we speak, so they haven't gotten a date yet from MLR. They're probably gonna start doing Sundays. It's perfect for them because they do football. You know, right now they do RadioInfluence.com every Tuesday right now from 9 to 10. And also you can catch Dave and I on the Rant Network as well as the Shining Wizards Network. That's Double A and all them, RantemRadio.com. You could tweet us at TBuckleTBacks or Dave at Mr. Powers, I think it is.
Mr. Powers or some shit.
Yeah, new episode coming up, I think, this week or next week. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you guys all kept me busy while I was away on vacation. Every other time I turned around, somebody had a new episode up.
Well, I've been converting all Dave's VHS tapes. So nice. We've been getting some more footage there, too. And I learned how to upload MP4, so I'm getting pretty savvy with it.
Nice. It's,
so it is what it is. But, yeah, we're doing big things, man. We're getting ready for October 5th. And we're doing some more segments on the podcast, and just getting more footage. Working on some Mid-South stuff. I don't want to give away everything, but we're working on some good episodes.
Good to hear. And we're working on making Eddie happy and getting Matt and Kevin to the studio, not being so fucking busy. Shining Wizards Network, SWN.shiningwizards.com. We are on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/shiningwizards. I forget. Yeah, I think it is Shining Wizards.
That's it.
WizardsPodcast@gmail, @WizardsPodcast on the Twitter box, like Matt says. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on Audioboo. Audioboo, we're updating every now and again, but it's kind of cool. Go check them out. The Shining Wizards show is also on Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment, cweradio.com. Go check those guys out. Clutch and Wiggle, The Aristocrats, a whole bunch of good shows over there. Go to iTunes. Phil's on there with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're on there with the network. We're on there with our show. Give us a rating. Tell us we're doing well. Tell us we're doing shit. Just tell us something. If you feel like you want to support these awful shows, go to our website, donate, buy a shirt, buy a box of wizardry. I think Matt still has like 20 of them he's dying to get rid of, so just help him out. And I think that's about it. You know what? I'll add something to the end of this as a closing number, but I'm going to go fucking wrap this up. I think my kid's driving my wife nuts upstairs, so I'm going to go put him to sleep. Not literally.
Benadryl. Well, Benadryl.
Yeah.
Benadryl works, trust me.
A couple of punches to the kidneys might knock him out.
Yeah, that's fine, too. Either way, you know. You take care of business, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, sir.
And we'll be back soon, hopefully.
Peace.
Peace.
Because all your breakers, that were answers, somebody say hello. strut up and down your spine.